Welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast with Phil Pringle. Phil is the founder and senior leader of C3 Church Global, a family of over 500 churches around the world. We're passionate about bringing you fresh, inspiring devotionals to fuel your day and insightful conversations on all things church and leadership. And it all starts right now.
Welcome, everybody, to C3 Church Global Podcast. It's such a delight this week to have Aussie Dave, who is a social media consultant for churches, not just in Australia, but all around the world. Great to have you with us, Dave.
Pastor Phil, it's good to see you as always. I like how you went with Aussie Dave, even though you know I'm in Australia. You can just call me Dave.
Okay. Yeah, it just is such a unique name.
Yeah.
Now, you're the father of... Tell us all about that.
As in the father of online church, or are you talking about the father of my children?
No, you constantly have things about what you want your girls to understand about the world.
Yeah,
on the Instagram feed. So I love reading those.
Yeah, I'm the dad of three daughters. So you can imagine I need all the prayers that I can possibly get. And ever since social media started, I have tried to leverage my social media platforms almost like a living legacy of the things that I've learned. So my Instagram is stuff that I know about Jesus. So, when I go and meet Jesus face to face, hopefully my girls can go to my Instagram account and learn everything that their dad has known about Jesus. And then on my Twitter, that's everything I've learned about ministry and leadership. And so again, once I'm standing face to face with Jesus, hopefully they'll go there to find all the things that I know about leadership. And I just use the hashtag stuff I want my daughters to know, and they can track that and hopefully learn all the things I learned.
Fantastic. Now, you started out as a journalist. I understand as a sports journalist, so it's not as cynical maybe as others. But, man, what a journey from being a journalist to a social media consultant for churches, which is, a belief. It isn't about being cynical. It's about being believing.
Yeah, for sure. This is the last thing I would have expected I would be doing. I grew up in the western suburbs of Melbourne, in an unchurched house, completely unchristian house, and went on to become a sports reporter and was a sports reporter on TV and Channel 10 in Melbourne for about 7 or 8 years. And then God called me into ministry. And I went on and moved to the U.S. and became the seventh online pastor in the world. And, it kind of took off from there.
Fantastic. Now, so from there, you've obviously learned such a huge amount about an area that a lot of us as ministers feel very inadequate about. And we feel nervous about engaging personally.
Yeah.
And we tend to overreact and overdo all the stuff that, it belongs in the social media world.
Yeah.
But one of the comments that you've made that I really like is this. It's a quote of yours. The front door to your church is in the pocket of every person in your city.
Yeah.
And that's so true. Everybody checks out everything they're going to do first online. They purchase online. They get married online. They find their husband or wife to be online. They just house, car, every major area. So as the church, we've really got to be in there, but not just in there. We need to be effective in there. So the actual stepping into this zone, being convinced that we actually need to be in there, many are, but many are still thinking of it as a plaything that is unnecessary and we don't need to be in there. Just talk to us about the importance of social media in today's world.
Yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, there's so many different things, right? But you're 100% correct. People will connect with your church before they connect within your church. We obviously want to move people to being part of on-site community, but typically in the modern world, that happens first by being in online community. community. And so as people who are responsible for sharing the gospel, I mean, we have this unique opportunity for the first time in human history, Pastor Phil, you know this, because you're doing this so well at the moment. You know that we've got this tool, and for the first time in human history, we can literally go into all the world in an instant just by doing a YouTube video that gets, you know, some viral traction behind it, and we can, you know, send our message to all the corners of the earth. So when we consider it from that point of view, I think it's incumbent upon us as ministers of the gospel, as Christians, but also as church leaders, to leverage this tool that everybody has in their pocket. You know, they've got a pulpit, they've got a giving, an offering plate, they've got a small group, they've got a worship team all in their pocket right now. We have this opportunity to turn this device from a tool of distraction into a tool of discipleship. But in order to do that, we have to approach it with a strategy. We have to approach it with a ministry mindset. And that just requires us sitting down and giving some thought to how we're going to leverage this device. Because if we can leverage it well, I mean, we can introduce people to Jesus that otherwise might not be able to get introduced to Jesus, because we can contextualize it to the people who live within driving distance of our building. So we can talk about the things that they're already talking about and make invitations to them through the conversations that we're already having online. So we've got this huge opportunity, but I think you're 100% right. I think in a lot of ways, as church leaders, we're a little bit fearful of this. We're almost afraid to innovate with these devices because we see them being misused so often. We see it as something that the world has taken and used for their own means, but we need to grab these tools and use them for the gospel and use them to get the good news out to more people.
Exactly. And I just think the answer to the nervousness is coaching.
Yeah.
And we've reached out to you, who, and you've been able to guide us and underscore the importance and give us some strategies. I've reached out to other coaches as well. Yeah. And there are people available who can lead you into all sorts of little ideas,
yeah.
But it's certainly not a small training thing. It's not just one or two things. It's like 200 things that you've got to actually get a hold of to be effective. And some of the big picture things, like make it a conversation, not an invitation.
Yeah.
And I generally have been doing mini preachers.
Yeah,
and bringing the scripture to people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been preaching to 2 million people on one video. So,
yeah,
I mean, that's – when am I ever going to have done that before?
Well, you're doing a great job with it. And seriously, this is please, you know that you and I have been working on some of this stuff together, but the way that you have taken hold of that is really significant, because what I've seen you do, and this is a testament to yourself, but also a really good coaching tool for other C3 pastors, is you've stopped in a lot of ways from using the internet as a broadcast medium, and you've started using it as a narrowcast medium. Now, what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of churches will broadcast their Sunday services out, and that's one, it's a good way of leveraging online technology by live streaming your Sunday services. But what I see you doing during the week is leveraging individual platforms to not just broadcast, but to more narrowcast. So the way that I see you do it, which is so effective, is you speak to a specific context, you speak to a specific issue, and you make it purposeful for that platform, and you make it purposeful for that message that you have to share. And that's where I see that you've started to get a heck of a lot of traction, and being able to reach 2 million people with one video is because you're narrowcasting it and you're contextualizing it to the people who are currently in your audience. And that's not, you know, it's not easy to do, but it's also not super difficult, because, again, you know this, it's not like you had to go out and buy a huge amount of production gear, right, to make any of this happen. Right. You just had to adjust your thinking around it so that the message you were producing met that online audience in a better way. And as you've done that, it's been super successful. That's the easy part of it. But it takes that intentionality, I think.
It does. And to keep your energy levels up and to speak to people, I always think, love your audience.
Yeah.
And and to because it's not just a machine that you're talking into. On the other side of the machine is a living person with dreams, fears, hurt, pain. And if you love them, I think you can start to communicate with them more effectively. And that's just like loving your community. If you're a church that's sent into a town, love your town. And I'm excited about the internet. I'm excited about all the platforms. There's a few haters on there, but, you know, my Lord, that's just normal life. I think that the opportunity for us to be a positive light-bringing force in a very dark kind of cesspool is enormous. And we have the possibility. I loved those different areas that you mentioned before. You said we've got a pulpit, we've got an offering plate, we've got a small group, we've got a worship group.
Yeah.
These are all there as really effective tools inside just that little device, for goodness sake. And we don't need to get too precious about having a brilliant production. In fact, my experience has been if it's too good, it's considered inauthentic, not authentic, and it's rejected. You know, it's too schmalzy, whatever that is. But it's like, it's got to have a little bit of, you know, raw about it, I think.
Totally. The formula that I recommend constantly for that, Pastor Phil, is that highly personal is greater than highly produced. And what I see often, though, is in church world, we want, and I get why we want this, we want everything to be really good quality. We want it to be highly produced because we feel like in many ways we are competing with the world and the world's standards of production. But, you know, when I look at Jesus, when he preached, like if he was preaching to a bunch of fishermen, he just got in a boat and preached to them, right? He just leveraged the method that would best reach his audience. And so it doesn't have to be highly produced. It just has to be highly personal. And so all you need to do is that device that you're trying to get into, you know, you're trying to get your message into other people's device. That device is also like, it's like a $1,000 camera. It's a great quality camera. If you just use that with a very personal message, you're going to reach people and you're going to speak to them in a genuine way. That disingenuousness of, you know, the overproduced thing goes out the door if you just get real with people.
Yeah, I agree with that. And if we're called to an area, I think we're going to find that God blesses our communication to the people in that area because the will of God matches you, your personality, your style with the people he sends you to so that there's a neat fit. And it's not so to open up all the channels for communicating.
Yeah.
What an opportunity. Okay. So developing a social media team.
Yeah.
So the pastor does it. He wants to get captions on it. He wants to get responses to comments. He wants to lead anybody to Jesus into a follow-up step, et cetera, et cetera. What should a pastor look for when he's trying to get that team together?
Yeah, look, I know a lot of church consultants and coaches will often talk about leveraging the young people in your church, which I think is totally a beneficial thing because a lot of them are digital natives. They've grown up with these devices in their hands, whereas you and I feel like you and I feel we are missionaries. We had to go in and learn the language, right, and then start to adopt the methods.
I'm
so
a
that we
dinosaur.
Could,
yeah.
I'm not too far behind you.
I didn't even have a TV when we were kids. You know, it's like, and then it was a black and white one with snow on it. For goodness sake, we'd sit and look at the snow.
Yeah, I had to dial it with my hand, you know, with the channel clicker. So I think going after the young people, I think is a great way to do it. But I think what it needs to be matched with, that enthusiasm and that nativeness to the digital culture needs to be matched with the strategy and systems that an older person can bring, somebody who's more experienced in ministry. So I think what you should be looking for if you're a local pastor at a local church is look for those people who are currently already using this technology, which again, in a lot of cases is the 20-somethings in your church, but try to pair them with somebody who understands the ministry side of it, because no longer we've moved away from a world where social media just pointed to the ministries in your church. In a lot of ways, social media has become a ministry in your church because you have the opportunity to connect with people before they connect within your church. We have to leverage it as a ministry as well. So I think you need to find the people who have the skills and to create the content and then try to teach them, coach them through the ministry side, the strategy side, the system side of leveraging this technology.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I kind of think there might be two kinds of people in the team.
Yeah.
One who is feeding the beast, you know, like looking after the algorithm.
Yeah.
Because you actually have to reach the algorithm.
Yeah.
You have
for
to
sure.
impress the algorithm.
Yeah.
And become friends with, and it's an ever-changing thing on each of those platforms, but
always.
But there are some things that are consistent, that are universal, and yeah. one is consistency.
Yeah.
And so if you are turning up with two clips a day,
yeah,
and you do that for 3 months, it says, oh, let's look after this client, because yeah. they are interested in making money. They want to attract advertisers.
Yeah.
And so if they say, yeah, we've got a content creator here who's bringing us material that's getting high views, let's push him out into yeah. a far wider range. And that's where you get your far higher numbers for preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
And so I think the team need to understand that we're not just trying to reach people, we're trying to actually get that algorithm to love us and
yeah.
spit us out, you know, at a broader field.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there are those two sorts of people, right? So there's the people who understand the algorithm side, the technological side. So you call them the high touch people. But then mm-hmm. you have to have the people who understand how to communicate to people, communicate with the local community. So they're your high touch people. So we need to have high tech and high touch on the same team. Now, some pastors out there who are watching or listening to this, they're going to have that unicorn who's good at both, right? Who's good at the high touch yes. and is good at the high tech. But for most people, you're going to have to try to find both of those people so that you've got the person who can understand and keep up with the algorithm changes, because the platforms are changing probably every 3 months or so. The things that I teach a ministry or a church, 1 month, 3 months later, I have to reteach a whole bunch of different things because everything has shifted. But you need the people who understand and have their finger on the pulse of how people communicate and what they need to hear so those contextualized messages go out. And this is where I think, you know, local churches have such a unique opportunity here to leverage this technology. I think gone are the days when, you know, I remember a few years back, a couple of pastors would be really scared about their congregation, their community, their church community getting online, because they're going to see pastors from around the world who are really good, gifted communicators and gifted preachers. And I don't want to be compared to those people. But the thing that the local pastor can do that Pastor Phil can't do, that, you know, Craig Rochelle or Andy Stanley or Stephen Furtick or, you know, you name your person, what they can't do is speak to the context of the local community that God has specifically called you to. This is the opportunity that you have. The pastor of a C3 church in Hobart, right? He understands the Hobart community because that's where God specifically called him to serve. And so he's going to have a different way of messaging, or even a different message to present, a different method than the pastor of a C3 church in Adelaide or in Sydney. So exactly. Understanding that local community gives you an advantage, and you just have to start leveraging that to speak to the needs of the local community that God's called you to serve.
Yeah, that's so good. You can never afford to think that your voice is irrelevant because others are so powerful. And sometimes people have said, how am I going to cut through all those millions of voices and the noise out there? I'd say, well, what are you trying to cut through?
Yeah.
Even if you just reach four people, five people, and you're talking to them and you open their hearts. I mean, we're getting people praying the prayer of salvation.
Yeah.
And starting to follow Christ. And so I'm still learning a lot about how to create a community that's, you know, like a bit further on for me. But I'm certainly finding that it's exciting, because this is where a new generation live.
Yeah, and for sure.
We need to be able to reach them on that point. Dave, you've walked us into a really exciting area here, content creation.
Yeah.
You're saying, okay, in the context that you're in, you're going to be able to create content and have a message for that people. So there's a lot of different ways, though, that content is being created, some with green screens, some with people walking around outside, some in a studio like I'm in right now. Well, it's not a studio. It's my kind of home desk.
Yep.
But you know, there's a thousand different ways that you can actually create content and what you actually do, what you talk about. For some, they just get another trending video, stick it up as a green screen, and point to it and get themselves 100,000 views because that is a trending video.
Yeah.
Which is, well, so be it. If it gets you in front of people's faces and you got something worthwhile saying, maybe that's a good way to piggyback in.
Yeah, it totally is. And this is where you need to be able to follow some of those trends and have them at least be aware of some of those trends, right? But I would also continue to urge local passers especially to make sure that you're not just trying to jump on the trendy thing online, but you're staying ahead of the game of what's happening on site in your local home community. There's a church on the Sunshine Coast here, Pastor Phil, who we've been doing some work with, and we were able to get them in the space of 3 weeks a 420% increase in engagement in their local community. And you know what we did? All we started to do was talk about local things. We started using a hashtag because it's on the Sunshine Coast. We just used the hashtag for the coast, and we started talking about local community businesses. We started giving shout outs to local school teachers, to the local emergency service workers. We started saying, hey, you know, the church leaders would go to a local cafe, so we called out that cafe. And as we started to do these posts, and we started on the weekends, we started giving shout outs or giving ideas to parents of family friendly free activities that they can do on Saturdays, like little things like that started to make a connection with the local community. And so then when we post things like, hey, we've got this Christmas event or this Easter event coming up, we've got all of this engagement behind it because we've been so helpful to the community in meeting their day-to-day needs, that when they have spiritual needs, you know, when things are not going as planned, when their health is not going as well as they thought it would, when relationships are not going as they'd hoped they'd go, that's when we can start to meet their spiritual needs as well. So doing that just literally took understanding the context we were in, being relevant to the local people who live within driving distance of our building, and really making it a focus of not trying to reach the whole world, not trying to reach all of Australia, not trying to get 2 million views. We just wanted to get views from the families and the students and the businesses and the parents who live within driving distance of that church building.
Perfect.
And that's driven up engagement in a huge way. And then what it also meant was we weren't wasting a lot of time during the week and a lot of team resources trying to come up with creative content. We were just following a little strategy, following a little system that spoke to the local community. And as we did that, everything just went up and to the right. And so we're starting to see now people are reaching out to the church in through direct message on Instagram and on Facebook saying, hey, I want to come to your church. Can you let me know when this event is on? Or can you let me know when the next service is? Or can somebody pray for me? These are people who otherwise would never have followed our social media, but because we've been calling out and being helpful in other areas, they've started to reach back out to us. And so that whole thing has turned on its head a little bit. And so, you know, that's so that high touch piece.
Yeah, no, that's loving your community. There's a, there's a young barista. He's just started his own little caravan coffee thing. And so you take, you know, all your pastors down there and do a little video and splash it up with his address and tell everybody to go down there, have the best coffee in town.
Yeah.
Well, of course he's going to appreciate that. Or the carpenter who comes around to your house, or the plumber who does a good job.
Yeah.
And you just say, hey, let me give you a boost on my social media profile. And
it's literally and what we've been doing.
I think it changes the attitude of the community that think that the Christians are a very judgy crowd.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're being very loving and you're actually making connections by being generous. Yeah. And that way better than an invitation. Way better than an invitation.
I think the other thing is when you look at a lot of, if you do what I do, right, Pastor Phil, and I look at hundreds of Christian church social media accounts every month, hundreds of them I'm looking at. And what I notice is we, as a generalization of our faith community, we are very insular focused. We, you know, the gravitational pull of every church is towards insiders. So what you see on most church accounts is Sunday in the auditorium posts. This is what we're doing midweek in our church. Like it's all focused around that church building. And this church, all they've done is they've just shifted that around a little bit and said, no, we're going to focus it on the outsiders. We're going to focus on the local community and let them know that we're interested, as interested in them as we are as what's happening inside God's house. And I think when I look at that, that's going into all the world, right? That's preaching the gospel. It's not saying come to us at a certain day, at a certain time, at a certain location that suits us. It's taking the message out into the local community. And that's what you see Jesus talking about, right? Judea, Samaria, and then the rest of the world. Like we're following that sort of protocol. So as we've been doing that, 427% increase in 3 weeks, just in engagement alone.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I love that thought. If anybody is listening to this and you only got that thought as the one thing as a pastor, that honestly is revolutionary for church life. I mean, and it's exhibiting what Jesus told us to do.
Yeah.
He said, don't make life about yourself. Make it about other people.
Yeah.
And then the wheels start to turn and you get what you're looking for without looking for it. It comes in from the side.
So Pastor Phil, can I ask you a question? Everybody gets your wisdom on this podcast. I want to get some of your wisdom. Why do you think it is that pastors are so fearful? Maybe fearful is too strong a word. They're so resistant to really latch onto this technology. And I'm asking you because A, I know you speak to a lot of pastors, and B, I know that you've stepped over that and you're leveraging this technology in such a great way. What do you think it is that holds a lot of pastors back?
Yeah, sometimes it's the fear of haters. And I've had my share. I still do.
Yeah.
And you're stepping into enemy, you know, it feels like just say, here I am, take shots. And but you cannot let that prevent you from going out there courageously preaching the gospel. And you got to get over all that. I mean, that's going to be, who cares? Like in the end, Jesus made himself of no reputation. And if we're worried about our reputation, I think we got to get over that. That would be one thing,
I think what you just said is so powerful. Be courageous, right?
Yes.
That's the call of Scripture, right? It's the call on Joshua's life. Be courageous. Yes. We have to have a generation of Joshuas who are ready to be courageous and put their reputation on the line to spread the gospel because it is worth it, right? It's worth it. I also think there might be a fear of failure. Would that be fair? Like that people think, well, I'm not going to get many views or I'm not going to get many comments. I deal with that a lot. But again, I always say to pastors, you know, social media, online streaming, podcasting, all of that, it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's not going to happen overnight, but it will happen if, as you already said, you're consistent, if you're consistently helpful, if you're consistently putting out content that speaks to the relevant, speaks to the situations that people in your local community are dealing with, as you continue to do that over and over and over again and keep showing up in people's lives, that's when you're going to start to get that. But that's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And I think too many pastors think, well, I tried it and I tried it for 2 weeks and I got like only 4 or 5 views, so I stopped. That's not failure because to your point, if those 4 or 5 views end up somebody taking the next step in their faith journey, then it's worth it. It's worth it.
Well, this other guy who I've had as a coach as well has they've got story after story of people who have put up 100 posts.
Yeah.
And got 2, 3, 4 likes, got nothing, got no subscriptions, you know, nobody signing up. And then for some reason, number 150 post just goes boom.
Yeah.
Now, I was watching Mr. Beast the other day. I don't everybody knows who he is. He's got 150 million subscribers.
Yeah.
I think he's the first YouTube billionaire. Yeah. So he's worth listening to. And so I was listening in on him. He said, listen, guys, the first 500 videos you do are going to be hopeless.
Yeah.
My first 100 was so terrible. I'm embarrassed to look at them today.
Yeah.
And he said, you get to where I am by keeping on doing what you're doing and just improving one little thing each time.
Yeah.
That you notice you could have done that better. You yeah. might not have said that. You should have actually been shorter, et cetera, et cetera. There's just so many little things. And he says, now I've got a roll. I've got momentum. And so I thought
love
that was
that.
Pretty sharp.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree. I mean, Mr. Beast, he's cracked the code in a lot of ways, right? And so there's a lot that we could learn from somebody like him just about how to leverage that technology. Every time I watch Mr. Beast, I'm not going to lie, this is going to be a weird transition, okay? Every time I watch Mr. Beast, I always think of this great theologian, this American theologian and revivalist who lived in the 19th century, Charles Finney. And he had this great quote. He said, every preacher needs to have a Bible in one hand and the map of the human mind in the other hand. And his point was, we need to have the theology and the message right, but we need to understand the method of getting that message through to people. That's where the map of the human mind comes in.
Yeah.
And I look at Mr. Beast, and Mr. Beast has cracked that code to a certain extent, but he doesn't have the Bible in his other hand. And so I don't want
praying.
I don't want my daughters to learn lessons about life from Mr. Beast, but I want to learn his method so that when it comes to preaching the gospel to people, when it comes to sharing deep biblical insights with people, I want to be able to leverage that method. And this is where we as church leaders, we as pastors, we need to make sure that we never let go of our mission, but we're willing to adapt our method.
Yes.
Right. Our model has to shift from time to time, but our mission will never shift. And if that mission is to, as I said, if it's to reach the people of Hobart, it's to reach the people of Sydney, if it's to reach the people of the Sunshine Coast, that mission doesn't change, but our method might, depending on where we're at and who we're speaking to in any given moment.
Right.
We see that throughout Jesus's life all the time. And we need to start following that when it comes to leveraging technology as well.
I think going back to your previous thing, what's the blockages that hinder pastors from taking the step into this area? And you said, you know, the fear of failure. Well, you are going to fail.
Yeah.
And emotional resilience is needed in the ministry. And it's not a if you fail. Yeah, some of them are going to be so stupidly hopeless that what we do. But we've got to learn to live with that, those attempts, that crawling, walking thing. And maybe our own ego gets the better of us. We think, oh, I'm an accomplished preacher. You know, I've been preaching for 50 years, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
What do I need to? But I've found you got to go way back down to the baby steps and learn a whole new skill. And I love learning new skills. I'm 71 years old, and I want to learn exactly how to crack this thing. And so I'm getting all the coaching I can get from people to understand how I can communicate better and better in this field. And every time I look at what I'm doing, I'm always thinking that, we can get that better. And I'm sitting in hotel rooms because we travel so much with the ironing board and, you know, books to get the angles right and a couple of portable lights. Like I carry around these lights. Yeah. Okay? So, you know, that's my lighting gear. And I got a right here now, this whole setup is pretty raw.
Yeah.
But you just make do with it. And as soon as I sit down, I do 30. So I sit there for maybe 2 hours, 3 hours. A lot of them, I just end up going, blah, 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 you know, it's hopeless and rub it. But I just keep doing it and doing it and doing it until I've got 30 that are reasonable. So that's going to keep me going on two clips a day for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
You know, like on various platforms. What I was going to say is, it may help pastors if they have a platform they like. Because that was one of my questions. Which platform do you think pastors should be using? And I'm kind of half answering it already. I'm just saying, I think one that you feel you're friendly with. Because I can't stand Facebook. I get lost in there. But I just throw, I bounce stuff over into Facebook. Some people love it.
Yeah.
And it is. It's a really great platform, but I think you just got to go with what you're comfortable with.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you know the platform well because you're always on it, if it's the one that you're most on, so if that's Instagram, leverage Instagram for sure. Mm-hmm. I want to dive into some of the nuances of that though. If somebody doesn't have a preference, if they don't have a favorite, I would be saying leverage YouTube as much as possible. And the reason I say that is YouTube's the second biggest search engine in the world, owned by the biggest search engine in the world. And if you're making evergreen content and you're optimizing that content, then people are going to be seeing that message for years on end if you're speaking about things that are relevant to your audience, right? So I always say YouTube would be my first port of call for people. And I would even go YouTube Shorts right now is the thing inside of YouTube that you need to be focusing on. That's the 60-second vertical short form video that gets the most traction and drives people to your longer form stuff. So if you're a pastor in a small town and you don't have much of a team, I would say start recording your Sunday services and making sure that they're going up on YouTube. And then if during the week you do one or two YouTube short videos that just a point from your message, or maybe it's you just saying, hey, how can I pray for the people who live within driving distance of my building? And you put that out on YouTube Shorts with links that point back to the main message, that Sunday message pillar content that you had, then that's a great way to start a strategy. Then I would be saying, Instagram is still a really popular platform across multiple ages. So I would be saying that's a good way to do it as well. But even within Instagram, I don't know if you knew this, Pastor Phil, but Adam Mosseri, the chief executive of Instagram, he came out just a week and a half ago and said that even within Instagram, there are about 5 or 6 different algorithms that are constantly running. And so people need to understand the difference between Instagram Reels, Instagram Stories, Instagram Newsfeed, Instagram Search and Explore, and Instagram DMs. And he said that the platform is promoting DMs more than anything else at the moment. So as pastors, you know, if you've got people who are following your church on Instagram, you should be sending out group DMs to them, making those personal connections where you can do some real ministry and say, how can I pray for you? Send me a DM and I'll pray for you, and then be responding to that. That way you're not wasting time trying to create graphics or get really good photos or really good videos to post. You're posting in DMs to personally to people with that narrow cast I talked about earlier. And because you're doing that, Instagram's promoting that at the moment. That means the posts that you do on your grid are going to get more traction because of what you're doing inside your DM. Yeah. So even little things like that become a real touch point for people. So understanding and knowing those things are really important as well. TikTok obviously is really huge at the moment as well, and is continuing to take off. So, you know, but if you're creating stuff for Instagram, if you're creating stuff for YouTube Shorts or for Instagram Reels, you can just repurpose those on a platform like TikTok and start sending that stuff out as well. So really it needs to be dependent on what you're comfortable with as a pastor, but also what is your church community using, and what is your wider local community that God's called you to serve? What are they using? So in some towns, TikTok's going to be huge and pastors will be going, well, I need to use TikTok. For others, it might be, no, it's Facebook. And while Pastor Phil and Aussie Dave don't really like Facebook, I've got to use that because that's what my community is using. Yeah. So we need to just understand that. That's that idea of, you know, that Charles Finney quote on having a map of the human mind, knowing what your local community is thinking and what is relevant to them, and leveraging that.
So good. My Lord, that is such valuable information. And that's one of the reasons why having a social media coach, I think you're better to put your money into that than into a whole lot of fancy pants equipment.
Yeah.
Because if your coach is worth his salt, he's going to be letting you know about changes in the algorithm like you just did.
Yeah.
And if you're checking in with your coach like at least once a month or, you know, whatever, and you're getting fresh relative information, and they're also able to give you guidance with content and give you feedback on how you're doing, et cetera, I think that could help pastors immensely.
Yeah, I agree.
You're obviously in that coaching zone, so any pastor listening who wants to get in touch with Dave and badger him with all sorts of questions and ring him up once a week, he will charge, but that's worth it. And there are plenty. There are others around too. If you wanted to talk to any of my team or whatever, or that we can refer you to in your area, whether it's America or Europe, et cetera.
Yeah.
And these are people who are definitely good at doing their job.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that plug. Can I just add to that? Yes. And that my constant goal as a coach is to partner with churches and church leaders, but to give them the tools that they need so that they can run it on their own and do their own thing with it. It's not that, like, the one thing I don't want is that people become so reliant on somebody like me that they feel they can never get rid of me. I want them to get rid of me. I want to be able to impart enough strategy and systemization that those fears that we talked about are no longer relevant to that church leader, to that church community, and so that they can start to do it themselves and pass it on. That's why I love being able to do this with teams, so that I can pass it on to somebody in that team who can then run with it themselves, and I can have an off ramp and just not be involved anymore and just cheer from the sidelines as I watch that platform, you know, that pastor or that church get the sort of engagement increases that this church in Sunshine Coast has been getting that I talked about, that I've seen you getting as well. Like, that's when I love what I get to do, because then they can run on their own and they don't need me anymore.
Yeah, you know, that is so good. Yeah, well, Dave, thanks so much for being generous with your time here on our podcast. And I know you've helped immensely. I can pick up three golden points out of what you shared here today. And I'm sure there's 20 more that pastors have been able to pick up and think, you know what, I'm going to have a go at this. And I think the more good news we get on into the internet, I mean, it's been flooded with a lot of negativity, but we could flood it back with thousands of preachers on there, and each one will actually reach their own audience. We've got 8 billion people on the planet, and a lot of them have never heard the gospel. And if we can just start to do some of the things that you've been talking about here today, I know that we'll take giant steps towards fulfilling the Great Commission.
Yeah, and we get to present a message of hope and of purpose and of value. And they're the things that this world needs right now more than anything else, right? They don't need another political message. They don't need another giveaway. They don't need another Mr. Beast, right? What the people of the world need is hope in their pocket, is purpose in their pocket, just that sense that they belong and that they're loved. And if we can get into their pockets and give them those things, then we're going to, you know, introduce them to a Jesus who can change their world and turn it upside down.
Yeah, well, I you know, just delaying the finish here a bit because I'm enjoying the conversation so much. But I think that, I also want to bring healing and deliverance, not just a message, but a power through. And I believe that that's in the pocket too. I mean, when they hear you praying for them. So I'm going live soon, but tell you the truth, Dave, I've been delaying it because I've got quite a lot on my plate. But also, I'm a tad nervous because, you know, and so me talking about being courageous, I'm preaching to myself as well. because once you're live, you got a lot of comments and things to deal with. Yeah. But I've been working with somebody who he's brilliant at managing those sorts of things, and I'll do it with a producer, so you know, that'll help filter through some of the comments. But I do want to bring the power of God out of the church into the streets and into people's personal world, where they can feel that it's not too much of a challenge to actually receive a prayer.
Yeah,
and so pray for us as we launch out into that in the next couple of weeks.
100%. I'm constantly praying for you. Every time I see you pop up in my feeds, I'm praying that that message will reach the right people in the right way at the right time. And that's the great thing. And your evergreen content, I mean, it is. It's making an impact. It's making a difference. And the thing is, anybody has access to this now, right?
Yes.
We all have access to that. Every pastor watching this, it doesn't matter if their church is 1,000 people or if it's 20 people. You've got access to the same things that you and I have access to.
Right.
And it just requires that intentionality to leverage it, to get out into the marketplace. And the modern marketplace is in people's pockets. It's on these devices.
It is.
We need to turn them from a tool of distraction into a tool of discipleship. Yeah.
And for people like our age, it has taken me a while to adjust to the. I think people call me an early adapter and, you know, pioneer and all that. But there are some areas that I'm slow. Like, it took me a long time before I stopped going to the shops and started just ordering online. And then my daughter-in-law tells me, no, you don't just order the one you want. You order three to see if the one that fits and the one you want, you keep, and you send the others back. And I'm going, like, my frugal conscience going, like, how can you just send it back and it doesn't cost you anything? And these poor people trying to make a head, you know, in the retail industry.
But, yeah.
You know, now I'm there with it. There are packages arriving on the doorstep and, you know, you're able to send things back.
Yeah.
So it takes a while.
World.
Yeah, it is such a different world. And and we got to accept that that's the world that we're, as pastors and ministers, are in these days. So once again, thanks, Dave, and thanks, everybody, for listening in. And we look forward to talking with you again soon. God bless you.
Hey, thanks so much for joining us today. Check out more content on the C3 Church Global Instagram and YouTube page. C3 is a movement of many hundreds of churches around the world, Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. So wherever you are around the world, I encourage you to find a C3 church near you. See you again soon.